Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hail cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. Happy to be back. Brandon, if you're suffering from bad COVID, right?
Yeah. I've heard of... Yeah, there's a spectrum.
Yeah, there's a spectrum, and I got the bad end of it, which still out there, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here, though. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad to have you back, my partner in crime. It was I was bummed that you got so sick last week just for your own health. But a yeah. Big thanks to Dave Wegner-Lodahl for stepping in on the main pod and the Patreon pod. But it's just not been the same without you around, Josh. So you were tuckered out and you lost your voice last week. It sounded pretty miserable.
I couldn't even talk. Yeah, people talk about, you know, I'm one of these white-collar workers that had been working remotely for 2 years. And, you know, we started going back to the office and, you know, people have talked about the complaints about going back to the office. Like, oh, you know, I'm just more productive at home. You know, it's like I don't want all the distractions. The other reason is like I don't want to get COVID. You know, it's like like 2 weeks after commuting back to the office again, you know, I'm in the subway for 40 minutes, you know, in the morning and the evening, like poorly ventilated, people barely wearing their masks. Like, of course I was going to get COVID right away. I lived in part, you know, 2 years in Brooklyn, didn't get it once and then got it right off the bat. So, yeah, I was surprised how bad it was. You know, you hear these stories about these, you know, Rafinha gets COVID and it's like, oh, OK, we'll see him. He'll be fine. We'll see him in 10 days, you know, but Josh Landon gets COVID and I was like knocked out for I was like a ghost, you know, and I was talking to my wife about this. I was like, I got my personality back after like 5 days. I had no personality for 5 days. It was just gone. Crazy.
Now, if you were to show me a picture of Rafinha's torso and his abs shirtless and yours, I would say, who's more likely to get bad COVID? I don't know. I don't know if I could distinguish. I'm not sure, but
I know. But I have lost, you know, I've lost 25 pounds the last year. I go to the gym all the time. I was like, you know, like
you're on that athletic greens too,
double
Josh.
Vaxxed and boosted, you know, on the athletic greens thing. I'm like, you know,
See? Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. There's the cough right there. Jeez, you know, so.
Well, yeah, it's so neither you or I had a single positive COVID test over the last 2+ years. Yeah. Even my wife, and we live in a tiny one-bedroom apartment, she had tested positive, minor symptoms. I was frantically testing positive. I had seen you for your presentation at Fordham University for the podcast like 3 days prior to – I don't know how many days, 3, 4, 5 days prior to your positive test. Yep. So I was frantically testing. My wife and I had just gotten a kitten and Leela was kind of like, I kind of hope you test positive and then you can stay home and or you can not work and play with the cat all day, that sort of thing. But I still didn't get it. But there you were taking one for the cheaters.
Yeah. And now it's over. It's been 9 days. I think I'm finally recovered. So thank you for carrying the torch while I was gone. Major thank you to Dave Wegner-Lodahl for appearing on the regular pod and the he's really like the I don't want to say Pete Best because Pete Best was the guy who got kicked off the Beatles, but I guess he's more like the Billy Preston, you know.
I mean when you get Dave on the ivories, he's a maestro for sure.
Tickling the ivories, exactly. So thank you to Dave very much for coming on the pod. It's really great to have such a reliable and smart, and you know, Dave's a great manager too. You know, great track record of success in fantasy too. So,
were you able to keep up with the football over the last week?
I was, yeah. I mean, it was this weekend certainly in particular. Last weekend I was I watched the morning matches on Saturday. You know, I went to the gym Saturday morning. I mean, it was kind of crazy. It was like hit me like a lightning bolt. You know, Saturday morning, I was fine. By Saturday evening, I couldn't speak. You know, it was really like so sudden.
Yeah.
So I caught up a little bit. I mean, I've just been kind of doing this like tiny Green Arrow thing. Looks like that's where I am this weekend as well. I'm just sort of moving like a few hundred spots up every week. And so I've been kind of in this 30K range and feels like that's where I'm going to settle. You know, I'm just kind of looking ahead, looking at who I don't have right now. I mean, I just see a lot of minus fours in my future. I have one chip left to play. I've got a triple captain chip and probably going to use that in Mo Salah in game week 36. We can talk more about that.
Right. I forgot you still have that triple captain chip. Yeah. That's kind of exciting.
It is fun. It's fun to have that. Yeah, it is. And I think, it's just, I just feel like I've got a lot of problems to solve right now. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I don't feel like I'm like, kind of like all systems go, boom, 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 boom. Here's my final five. You know, we only have five game weeks left as a reminder, you know, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. You know, that's it. So
can we say one of our missions for the next few weeks is to destigmatize if anybody out there is stigmatized by a minus four, a transfer penalty.
Yeah.
We're just going to be full on minus fours for the rest of the season.
Probably. Honestly, I used one this week and it certainly didn't affect my Green Arrow so far. I didn't even make especially good transfers. I mean, we'll see what happens. We're halfway through the double game week, but you know, it's funny. I brought in Alex Tellez, which in the end I got 4 points from him. And it's like, honestly, sure. Fine. You know, like, I mean, I would have had 0 points. I would have had nothing. Like the way everything broke the last week or so was what made things a little bit tricky. Cause I had, Kieran Tierney went out, Matt Doherty went out, and then Lacazette got COVID. And, you know, two of those would have been double game week players for me. And so I sort of became this scramble, like what am I going to do this game week to kind of maximize it? And, you know, I tinkered and tinkered and tinkered, and I could not find a way to get to Ronaldo or Bruno in a way that really made sense. I just could not get there without, you know, like a minus 12 or something like that. And I was okay. I'm just going to make it minus 12 when one of the two matches is Liverpool, you know, the Norwich match, I assumed one of those guys would go off and then Ronaldo did, you know, it could have been Bruno on a different day. Right. But, and so I think, you know, but I just couldn't get there. And so in the end I was like, you know what, I'm just not going to do it. And so I made my three transfers. I brought in Chris Wood, even though I didn't love that move because obviously he's going to have to move again, but he just kind of made the most sense because of Lacazette being out. I brought in Harvey Barnes just because I thought he was slightly more likely to start than James Maddison this weekend. That was the sole rationale there. In the end, neither one started because Brent Rodgers is all in the Europa Conference League. That is the only thing. And why not? Right. I don't know.
There are a lot of clubs obviously there are a lot of clubs out there who that's the one trophy they don't have in their cabinet yet.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to finish like eighth or something. Like, would you rather like cruise your way into seventh place or would you rather win a title? You know, I mean, it does seem more fun. Sure. They're gonna play Roma, like that's kind of cool, you know.
And if you're a fan, if you're a Leicester fan who's able to travel and get tickets, like that's an incredible journey to take at a season that I think you're right, like this, the Premier League season is a write-off at this point.
I
think Brendan Rodgers has kind of saved his reputation a little bit by not like totally cratering. It looks like at some point in the middle of the season, Leicester could have finished around 14th. But so
I think his rep is fine. I think in some ways he benefits from, or he sort of suffers from high expectations. I mean, to take Leicester and be Champions League contenders the last 2 years, win the FA Cup last year. I mean, you know, it's really, he's honestly done a pretty good job there, all things considered.
I won't argue with that for sure. Yeah. So I did not take a transfer hit, but I did make two frees. I had two frees like you, Josh, and I brought in Chris Wood for Weghorst. And, you know, I kind of knew in making that move that basically guaranteed that Weghorst would get a goal. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't.
Ricochet off the crossbar. Be the tallest guy when the ball ricochets at the crossbar move.
Yeah, and he didn't have to really. And leave Jay Rodriguez had to do all the hard work there. You know, we've still got one more game for Chris Wood to put that transfer right. I'm not holding my breath. And then I had 6.2 million left to use to fill a Rafinha blank. So I brought in Martin Odegaard. It was between Odegaard and Conor Gallagher and Arsenal with a double. And I just, the Saka Odegaard connection in that Southampton match was incredible. The two of them looked so good. And the fact that they weren't able to actually just put the ball into the net was really frustrating. So like in the main, I'm kind of happy with those transfers in that I felt like I followed my instinct on Chris Wood and made a smarter transfer with Odegaard. And, you know, such as the trajectory of my seasons, they just haven't come together. In my team right now, as of Sunday night, I'm on 14 points with 7 players having played. So that's everyone just getting appearance points, except for Nick Pope, who got 1 save point. So that's my main return right now. Pretty standardly awful right now.
Well, I've got Veghorst. So I did get my, I didn't realize he got a yellow card today. Of course he got a yellow card.
There was some pushing and shoving happening there. Yeah. He got in the mix.
So I got my 8 from Veghorst, which, thank God, finally, 4 from Telles, 3 from Pope and 3 from Son. I guess that's where my points are mostly coming from. So I'm on 26, and then I guess with the -4, it's 22. But that is enough for a green arrow right now. And so I still, in theory, have Reece James, Harvey Barnes, Mo Salah, Broja, right? I mean, we still, in theory, can get something for Broja.
Sure.
Chris Wood, captain, Veghorst, Salah, Trent. So yeah, there's you know, lots to go here.
Yeah, I have 10 players left to go if you look at these doubles.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I guess I've got 9 and then 10 if you count my captain. So yeah, a lot left
wonderful
to play.
Stuff.
Yep.
The story is not yet written. We're crying like little crybabies right now, but catch us later this week and we could be celebrating.
Were we crying? I felt like we were pretty measured, honestly. I thought that was a pretty measured assessment of things. So the other news is the FA Cup is now settled. We've got what should be a really fun final, Liverpool-Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be really exciting. It's you know, it's kind of a shame that just the bracket didn't fall so that you could get Liverpool-Man City, because it feels like that's like really the story of the season, right? All these great clashes between them. And I thought for some reason that Saturday match just didn't quite have it. Like
I mean, there's one reason why, and America is to blame for that. And when everything from City's goal mouth begins with Zach Stefan, and as a couple of guys who have watched the entire qualifying process for the U.S. men for the World Cup, Stefan just ain't it. He is, I mean, he suffers from lack of playing time for sure. But there's just something about him that is, he is not one of the greats in that long line of American goalkeepers from Brad Friedel, Tim Howard, Casey Keller, who have gone through the Premier League.
Great track. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It all dies with Zach Stefan, unfortunately.
Well, let's see. There's always some tall guys in our pipeline. So let's hope that we keep that fresh. So the big news though is game week 34 is settled. We have another double, Brandon. We have we're pretty much settled at this point with all of the doubles for the rest of the season. We know where they're going to fall more or less this weekend.
Yeah.
We have, it's actually sort of far reaching implications in some ways. But so we have Chelsea double. They play West Ham at home, Man United away. And that means that Man United double as well. They play away to Arsenal and then home to Chelsea. Because what they've basically done is sort of pull up a game week 37 fixture, that means now that Man United blank in game week 37. So be cautious, you know, if you brought in players for 33 or if you're trying to load up for 34, I'm not sure anyone's really that excited to load up right now Man United players. But if you were, just be cautious that in 2 weeks' time, you're going to have to probably drop, you know, whoever you've got, especially because there's all these doubles in 37 as well. So that is now settled. So we know that we have this one double in 30, this, you know, these two teams to double in 34, nobody doubles in 35. And then 36 and 37 are both big, lots of doubles kind of spread across. Going to be very hard, I think, to plan to maximize both of those, especially when there's just not a lot of game weeks left. And, you know, you really want to take advantage of the big thing for me right now is trying to figure out if I can move Coutinho to bring in someone like Mason Mount and then bring Coutinho back in. Like, mm-hmm. how do I do that? because in some ways it feels like I'm sort of like mortgaging the future there a little bit, because I actually, you know, Aston Villa don't double in 34, then they have three home matches. They play four matches in 36 and 37. So, and they play Norwich at home in 35. So it's kind of like, yeah, is it really worth doubling up on sort of inconsistent Chelsea assets? I mean, you know, I feel pretty good about Mason Mount in general, but you know, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
When I'm just going to want to bring those players back in anyway, you know? So it's tricky.
Yeah. I mean, the easiest way to capitalize on all these doubles is with chips. You sort of just go for Chelsea and Manchester United as best you can in 34. If you've been saving your wild card, then 35 is absolutely you play it.
Yeah, oh yeah, you got chips, use them. You know, yeah. Free hits and wild cards.
Right, right. Yeah, I think the most common thing out there for people still holding their chips would be the people with their their second free hit. And then I think 37 might be the time to play it, because you can prep for 36 and capitalize just through transfer policies, etc.
Yeah, and I think maybe we should know this week, I believe, the only thing that is not settled, I think it's the last unscheduled double is with Man City. And they will either
Wolves.
Yeah, they'll either double in 36 or 37. And so if it falls into 37 and you have a free hit left and you don't have any Man City players, for example, that might really make 37 the ideal time to use it, because you could just triple up a Man City and not kind of worry about it with the other transfers. And then you could spend 34 and 36 bringing in, you know, players from Spurs or Arsenal or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Arsenal kind of around that Man United camper. I'm like, do I really want to be spending any transfers on their players? What happened to the international break with them? I don't understand it. It's like the worst international break ever. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, obviously Tierney and Partey being out are big misses. That's like a spinal injury, but I feel like you shouldn't be this bad for the type of form Arsenal were in, losing both those players.
Abalaka, Tierney, Partey, right? That's like I mean, I guess Tierney is in the left. It's not a total spine, but it feels feels like it, you know?
I'm interested to talk about Manchester United after we break, because I mean, they're coming out of a double here, and then the double, or I guess more what I'm mostly interested in talking about is Liverpool coming up, followed by Arsenal and then Chelsea. It's like a murderer's row of top four club candidates. And Manchester United, having watched Spurs and Arsenal lose, are suddenly like in with a chance to get that fourth spot. These are going to be huge, huge games for United.
That is true. I mean, that United Arsenal game is Saturday morning, and that is pretty fun. That is a we may have to actually like finally reschedule our COVID postponed meetup. You know, maybe we finally try to make that happen. So let's keep that in the back of our heads there. I'm not going to announce it this time, because last time we did that, and then everything went to hell. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to jinx it twice, but we'll let everybody know if we end up doing something this time around. So, all right. Well, that's your kind of intro. I want to talk obviously mostly about Chelsea today, because I think it's really important what you do with them, because they have the double in 34, pretty good one with West Ham and United, and then an even better one in 36 where they play Wolves and Leeds. So, bringing in Chelsea players even on a hit or multiple hits, there's a kind of logic to it, because it really is going to kind of pay off over the next couple of weeks. You're just getting those transfers out of the way in some way. If you're going to take a -4 in 36, just take that -8 now, and set yourself up. So we'll talk more about that. I just wanted to quickly shout out everyone on the Patreon community. Everyone was really nice. I got a lot of direct messages from Patreon. I did on Twitter a little bit as well. Nice messages from people who were asking about my health, and I really appreciate that. And, thankfully I do. I'm feeling quite a lot better. Thank goodness. So
how's everything in the bedroom? It's all right. It's working.
Yeah. Everything's still working. Thank God. Yeah, exactly. So, so everything's still good. But I wanted to, a shout out to our Patreon supporters, because a lot of them were very, and when I sort of came back and said hello, I basically took the week off, and I didn't tweet. I didn't talk on the Slack. I didn't do anything. I really couldn't, And so it was just, so it felt really good to get back this weekend. And even now I'm still sort of like, you know, it's like sort of putting your toes back in the water a little
bit. Sure, you got to pace yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Well, you missed the start of the Forever Young League, which is our new big prize for our Patreon supporters, in which we reset the scoring to zero for game week 32. I've got some bad news for all of our supporters. I see here after Sunday's fixtures, James Bishop is number one on the Forever Young League. Mr. Jack Pass himself. But yeah, if you join our Patreon now, we can still get you into that Forever Young League. It's got a $250 cash prize plus whatever you want from the Always Cheating shop. And yeah, any supporters out there who still haven't joined the Forever Young League, check out that post on Patreon. What else do you get for supporting the pod? Our eternal gratitude, because it is late in the season, but you're also going to get our Thursday night ad-free podcast every week, where we can cover all the midweek action. Last week was a huge week for implications of Champions League and Europa League matches. Also, Dean's List Manager of the Month Award, Slack Chat. We can review newsletters from Mini League Mate and t-shirts at the higher tiers. Josh, that's it. We love our patrons. Thanks to everyone who supports the pod.
Yep. Thanks everyone who supports the podcast. Patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go to support the cheaters. And let's take a break and we'll get back to game week 34. Talking about 34, Brandon.
That's the one. Okay.
Pretty,
cool.
Pretty far along now, aren't we? Jeez.
We'll see you soon, Josh. Hey listeners, Brandon here. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. During the last 2 years, my work schedule, my life schedule, my diet, basically everything has been thrown into chaos. I'm sure some of you can relate. A few weeks ago, Athletic Greens sent me this amazing starter pack, and I've been using their product AG1 each morning, and I love it. I started taking AG1 in the mornings because I don't really have a real breakfast routine, and now I have a quick and easy habit that I'm building to start my mornings. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, and it really does taste good. It has this sort of tropical flavor. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. And I started commuting to the office again, so I've actually been putting my AG1 scoop with about 12 ounces of water into this bottle that comes with their kit, and it's easy to grab, shake, and run out the front door, and I'm on my way to have a great day. A subscription to AG1 costs less than $3 a day, way cheaper than my cold brew habit. And for every purchase, this is great. Athletic Greens donates to organizations helping to get nutritious foods to kids in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the U.S., Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/cheating. This is a deal special for Always Cheating listeners. Again, that site is athleticgreens.com/cheating to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional endurance.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifydhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Game week 34 is upon us on Saturday. Kicks off early Saturday morning with Arsenal hosting Manchester United. A gigantic match now, a battle for fourth place. Although I do think that Spurs are certainly the most well-positioned to yeah. take that. Looking at my squad right now, I have, so that we have this double in 34 with Man United and Chelsea. I have two players right now from Chelsea. I have Reece James, you know, regret of regrets, going for him over Rudiger. It's cost me 12 points so far. And then I've got Alex Telles, who I suppose I'll start him as well, right? So I'll have
why not,
right? I mean, Arsenal away, Chelsea at home. I don't know what I'm getting from him, but
he's a taker of corners.
Well, so. That's right. I got an assist from him this weekend on the corner, and he's kind of a marauding fullback. You know, is he marauding? I don't really know. Their defense is so bad, though. It's crazy. Like it's just wild watching them play. Like they got so caught out on that second goal. Yeah. Norwich. I can't imagine what's going to happen in this Liverpool match in a couple of days. Like,
I do wonder what kind of dreams does David De Gea have? He must have like the most terrifying dreams.
Yeah.
He continually bailed them out in the second half when it looked like Norwich was just feeling it. They're, you know, the electricity coursing through them and they were going to run away with it. And De Gea made a few saves, man, he's good. But yeah, their defense is quite bad, but I mean, when that double gets announced for 34, you've got to be feeling decent about the Telles pickup. Just fixture volume. I feel like I've said the phrase fixture volume, especially regarding Burnley and Leicester.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons I did it. I was like, because it was rumored that this was going to happen if Chelsea won. And so I was like, well, I don't know. Like there wasn't like any players I was really like super enamored with as far as, I'm sure you guys talked about this a lot with Dave last week, but you know, it was like all the defender options for 33 outside of just going straight up with like Cancelo. But even that I thought had some risk because he's just started so many matches recently and then started again in the FA Cup yesterday. And so, I mean, at some point, I don't know, but then, yeah, I guess, I don't know. He's suspended for the Champions League first leg. So maybe that's when he gets his rest. Anyway, so, you know, I thought about just going with him, but in the end I was like, well, I'll go with Telles anyway. So right now I mean, I actually like the look of my team in general, but I just feel like I need to, what I would consider doing was we'd take it in -4. Probably, and you know, the move I'd actually kind of like to do, Brandon, would be Timo Werner. As crazy as that sounds,
he's in the form of his life at least at Chelsea at the moment.
Yeah. So bringing in a Werner would be at least a mild possibility, something I would consider.
Let's see, how much does Werner cost at the moment? Can you do just a straight swap, Coutinho to Werner?
Well, he's a forward. So,
oh right. I don't know why. I just assume all, wing. Forwards.
I could do, you know what? I am 0.1 short of going Weghorst to Werner, but I could go Wood to Werner. So
8.6 for Werner right now.
Yeah. Okay. So I could go Wood to Werner, and then I would not be doubled up on the Chelsea defense. The other move I could make would just be to finally resolve the Doherty problem and go Doherty to Rudiger.
Okay.
And do that. Or what I could do is I could go Coutinho to Mount and Doherty to Rudiger, and that would be a -4. So that's, in some ways, that's maybe the most appealing because I like Mount as a captain option a lot this week. We can talk more about captains in a second. Mm-hmm. So I would say I'm not particularly enamored with Havertz. Do you still have Havertz in your team?
I do, yeah. If you look at my bus team, he's my captain, and I don't know. Havertz starts all the matches, he plays in the forwardmost role. It's just not really, he's been getting his head on things and so on and so forth. No like clear big chances.
Yeah.
The way Timo and Mount are sort of working the attack. So you're in this dangerous territory of Kai Havertz becoming the Lacazette of Chelsea at the moment, where he's just the wall in which all the balls, the passes are bounced off of to create the attack. But for me, where, you know, I have a poor rank and I'll look for opportunities to be different and to gain, I don't think Havertz is going to be super widely captained, particularly with everybody sort of moving on Mason Mount, who's in terrific form. So I do like Havertz for me as a captaincy option, because you just talk about the variance that we've seen this season. And, you know, Mount is going to score a hat trick one week and Havertz can do it another. Ronaldo looks like he might never come back from, you know, Portugal ever again, and he returns to the United lineup and scores a hat trick. I think this is just kind of the way it's been going. So
yeah,
I think because I'm kind of sure that Havertz will start both matches, that I'm happy to captain him.
No, I think that makes sense. I think, well, let's talk about captains more in a second, but as far as transfers, is there a, how much do you have in the bank right now?
I have 0.7 in the bank. So if I were to target anyone, it would be Mason Mount coming in for Bukayo Saka,
right?
And I can do that move, and I
don't think hate that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either. And you know, my sort of feelings about Saka recently have been noted, have been highlighted on this podcast. So that might be something I do. There is a part of me though that just that might hold. I can't afford any Manchester United players without a -4, unless it's a defender. And I don't hate starting any of my defenders at the moment. And the other option there would be to double up on Chelsea defense. And I have to admit, I don't really trust the Chelsea defense so far as I would want to double on them. So Havertz and Reece James with no Manchester United coverage doesn't seem like an insane way to approach game week 34.
No, it doesn't. But I think Saka to Mount makes sense, especially because you've already got Odegaard. You know, it's like how many Arsenal midfielders do you need at the moment? You know, like
how many? Yeah,
one,
it's true.
One seems like one is almost too many at the moment, honestly. especially without a forward now. I mean, now it's like, it's going to be even easier to stop them, right? Like they don't have a forward, like they, and they're not, kind of not playing anyone in that position. So it's almost like they're just kind of passing the ball around. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I guess they did create some chance against Southampton to give them credit, but it doesn't feel like they've kind of figured out what to do yet. And, you know, unfortunately, they just need a better, I mean, they need a finisher, you know, that's, I mean, clearly. And so I was a little surprised that Martinelli didn't kind of get a run out as a forward.
Yeah, you know, start Smith Rowe and Martinelli together. Yeah. I feel like that's been an issue for Arteta. Since Martinelli sort of had his rise to glory this season, he couldn't figure out a way to play both Smith Rowe and Martinelli. And maybe that was working for a while, but now that Lacazette's out, they could really use a little bit of chemistry with all those players to be able to start. And because Nketiah he's not it.
Well, let me pull back the a little bit for a second and just talk about Chelsea, because I did take a look at some data for Chelsea, just because I felt like I hadn't kind of taken like a 10,000 foot view of them for a little while. So here's what's going on with Chelsea right now. So in the FA Cup today, I had a 2-0 win. I had a Mason Mount goal. He had a Timo Werner assist. He had a Ruben Loftus-Cheek goal. So Mount goal, Werner assist, Brennan. Get used to hearing that combination.
Yeah.
They, in the last week, played two Champions League matches against Real Madrid. They ultimately lost those. The second match in particular was very competitive, as everybody saw. They actually won 3-2, but that lost on total goals. They had
a Pyrrhic victory, Josh.
A Pyrrhic victory, that's true. But across those two legs, Werner and Mount and Werner had a goal and an assist each. You had a Rudiger goal, you had a Havertz goal, and there were five total goals conceded. So it was a very action-packed two-legged match. But again, Mount and Werner, very much the sort of dominant forces. And then Rudiger, actually, that was his second goal in the last, I think, 6 weeks. And then in the Premier League, over the last 5 weeks, they've scored 15 total goals across those five game weeks. They've conceded five, although four of them were in that one kind of fluky match against Brentford. Otherwise, they've conceded just one goal in the other four matches. James has been starting everything but the Premier League matches. And Havertz and Mount have started five of the five matches. And Timo Werner has started four out of the five. So I was a little surprised that Werner had started four out of five. I know that he was in good form, but I thought maybe some of that was coming off the bench. And so to see that he's actually been a pretty steady starter for them, and especially now that they don't have the Champions League to kind of deal with or the FA Cup until several weeks from now, I would imagine that Havertz, Werner, Mount would all be seeing quite a few starts together over the next few weeks.
Yeah, that is like the front three of choice for Tuchel now. I do wish that Havertz's last name was Dew, because I see Werner, a great ginger ale soft drink, Werner's from Michigan.
Yeah,
and then you've got Mount. You know, you're that close to Werner's and Mountain Dew. And I feel like that would be a wonderful FPL team name, but it's not it. It's Werner's and Mountain Havertz. I will say that the Ruben Loftus-Cheek goal against Crystal Palace, you could kind of give that a little bit of a cheeky assist to Havertz, because Havertz did work it to the byline to cross, and then it popped out to RLC. Mm-hmm. So it's like, for all those who are trying to find the sliver of light for Havertz and how is he impacting all the goals being scored, apart from the one goal that he's scored here in the Champions League tie. But yeah, I think if you're starting from scratch with Chelsea, Reece James and Mason Mount seem to be the guys, and then Timo Werner is the ideal opportunistic punt.
Totally. I mean, you know, we've all been there with Werner. Anyone who's played for more than a year, last season, I mean, Timo Werner started the season as like the most highly, a classic trap that we all fell into. Sure. We don't overinvest in the new transfer as like one of the like cardinal, you know, rules of fantasy. But, you know, we all kind of jumped on it because he just looked so good in the summer. And most of us had done fantasy Bundesliga because they restarted early. And he looked awesome for RB Leipzig. And so then he came in and he like became like the, you know, like the living embodiment of the clown meme, you know, of like the
very much like when Fernando Torres got to Chelsea. Just like what happened? Yeah. What magic was taken away from this man?
Yeah. It feels like there's like a long history of forwards going to Chelsea and like the wheels just completely.
Sure. Lukaku, you know, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. So, he said Werner just being another one, but it seems like he's found something. He's sort of it's really working for him right now. And you know, I think we all rate him certainly. And so I am, you know, the part of the theme of the season, Brendan, is fresh slate, you know, start new. So
Tabula rasa.
So I'm down for, you know, maybe doing Timo Werner. It would fit my team a little bit better in some ways. It would make things a little bit easier for me transfer wise. So, you know, it's a possibility. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll bring in Timo Werner and captain him.
Sure. Why not? I mean, this season has been insane enough already. Like, let's just pile on with the insanity. Yeah, exactly.
Let's keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, let's spare a quick moment for Chelsea's defense, because I feel like the clean sheets that they've kept of late, as you know, few and far between as I felt like they are, as much as we thought like Chelsea's defense was so awesome earlier in this season, kind of like lucking in to clean sheets at the moment. It seems to largely depend on which version of Mendy and Thiago Silva show up. You know, as you were just saying, the clownish version of these guys or the good version of these guys?
I mean, Mendy has been good recently in particular, I feel like. And I don't know. I mean, I guess they conceded just whatever it was, six goals to or five goals to Real Madrid. But in general, I feel like Mendy, you know, has been stronger. Has had some really good stops. And I think I would say I don't really wouldn't trust. I mean, okay, here, how about this? If you don't have Reece James right now, would you recommend someone bring Reece James into the team?
Well, it's a decision point, much like Timo Werner. Well, not much like him, but like you would recommend Timo Werner to somebody in a dark alleyway who says, "Listen, I need a boost. What can I get?"
Yeah.
And Reece James, even though he's just been an absolute disaster since his brace that he scored a month ago, I feel like you have to take a chance on a player like that and a double when you need to make up points. If you are well positioned, be it your overall or your mini league, I think then I'd be more reticent to recommend Reece James because I don't fear him at all at the moment.
Yeah. It's just like, you just don't, it's hard to like, I don't really know. It's
so like, you're suggesting you would have him out of fear in a way.
No, not at all. I'm actually saying that I would not necessarily suggest bringing him in. I mean, you know, it's like he is explosive, but I mean, at this point it's, I think that he's a,
let's note that rotation risk. Yes. Possibly. And also like in the FA Cup semifinal against Palace, he played as a third center back. And then you had Aspilicueta on the right, who was actually the winger there.
Yeah.
And
maybe that's save his legs a little bit. That's interesting.
Possibly. I'm not big brained enough to know how that matched up against the Palace attack. But that's a concern that some managers would say, well, why would I bring in Reece James if his whole appeal is his attack? And now he's being tucked into a back three with Tuchel. And for a defense that's had some issues lately, if this is working for Tuchel, then he might not choose to change it. So anyway, that's like giving the full, all the different sides of the argument.
It's kind of hard to look at the defensive starts the last few weeks when you factor in all the matches that were being played, you know, the Champions League matches, the FA Cup matches, Premier League, a lot of double game weeks, matches that had to get made up. Like, you look back and there's, outside of Rudiger, there's almost nobody who has like a track record that you could look at and be like, oh yeah, this guy is going to be a starter the next few weeks. And, you know, so now that things are a little more stable, I'm not even sure I necessarily know what I think the most stable version of that defense is. It probably does have Reece James in it. It probably it certainly has Rudiger. It probably has Thiago Silva. I would say that he's a pretty safe bet in that central midfield spot. The central defensive midfield spot. Take the word midfield out. The central defense, but yeah, they said the central center back is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. Okay.
So he's pretty safe, I'd say. But from there, I think Aspilicueta and Christensen and Chalaba and even Marcus Alonso, I think that all of those players are at great risk of not starting some of these matches. And I think that, you know, really, just I would just not necessarily try to spend my energy there. I think I'd rather take a punt on, outside of Rudiger, who I think is worth a transfer. And I think everyone else is not necessarily worth a minus four, because I just don't know if you're going to get, the whole reason to take a minus four for double gaming players is you're going to get two matches out of them. But if I'm just taking a minus four and all I'm getting is Arsenal away or whatever, right, it's like, it's not really worth it necessarily.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Speaking of, it might not be worth it necessarily, we can move on to point number two here for game week 34, and that's Manchester United. What about them? So, Josh, you've pulled some numbers, you've pulled some thoughts together here. Where are you at with, after 1 week with Alex Telles and watching Ronaldo just get nuts?
Alex, step aside, Callum Wilson. Alex, the truth, Telles. He's my main man. Yeah. I like Alex Telles. I like, he's got a cool look, you know, decent crosser of the ball, good on corners.
Yeah. We assumed he would immediately walk into that starting lineup with Manchester United at the start of the season, just based on how cool he looked alone.
Good look. Good look. But you know, he's been rotating with Shaw and, you know, Bruno, it's just not been his year, certainly since Ronaldo joined. And 0 goals, 1 assist since game week 27. You know, I watched the Norwich match. Same old stuff, right? I mean, this guy just needs to be the alpha, you know, clearly. And I don't know. I mean, like, this is like Josh Landon psychology corner, I get. And like, maybe not everyone agrees with you in this, but like, you take Ronaldo out of that team and suddenly he's back to being absolutely terrific and absolutely bossing it and scoring tons of goals and assisting things. I'm not saying that necessarily makes Man United better, even though I personally think it does. But I did, for whatever reason, it feels like when everything's getting funneled towards finding Ronaldo the ball, that does not seem to bring out the best in Bruno for whatever reason, you know, either because of ego or because it doesn't suit his particular game or whatever. And so, I'm not feeling Bruno at all. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not either. I mean, if there was a standout midfielder in that Norwich City match, it was Alanga. He was actually very good.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you talk about when Bruno was the alpha in Manchester United's attack, even earlier this season before Ronaldo arrived, it's wild how much the starting lineup for Manchester United has changed since then, where you've got Rashford and Martial and the like, who Bruno is working with, and now it's a completely reformed attack. I mean, Sancho is trying to come into form still. They started Jesse Lingard against Norwich. I just think it's just a strange moment to try to be the band leader.
There was a moment to our Beatles watching that match and watching Lingard express his frustration or whatever. You were just like, why'd you come back for this, man? You know, it's like the guy who turns down the job, you know, to stay at the old job. And you're like, you know, you should have just taken the offer.
Well, everyone looks at Ruben Loftus-Cheek and you're like, you know, the Chelsea were just trying to, shuttle him off to Palace and Fulham. And Loftus-Cheek says, well, I'll come back and I'll score the game winner and in the FA Cup semifinal. I'll play and be competitive in the Champions League. Everybody thinks that's going to be their story arc. Jesse Lingard thought he was going to be Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Right.
He did have one moment in the Champions League.
That's true. I guess you don't reach the heights of these guys without a rational, insane confidence, right? So I guess you've always got to see everything through that lens. So the other one is you know, so Bruno, obviously Bruno was a major talking point going into 33. So everyone's probably sick of doing the Bruno thing. If you didn't bring him in for 33, you're probably not going to bring him in for 34. Ronaldo was at least slightly more interesting because, you know, he's got 2 hat tricks in the last 4 weeks. Like, you've got to note it, right? Six goals. Yeah. And so he's got 2 hat tricks, a 1-pointer, and 2 missed starts due to injury. The classic, like, 37-year-old fading legend, resume right there. It's like, he's not going to stay healthy. He's going to have some bad games, probably going to pick up a yellow in his bad games because he can get frustrated. And then he'll probably get a couple hat tricks too. You know, and one of those is against Spurs. I mean, you know, so it wasn't like he just beat up on the Norwiches of the world. So, you know, I mean, it's not a great double for them, but would not shock me if Ronaldo got a couple of goals. I mean, the problem is there's just no way to get there to him easily. You know, like Kane to Ronaldo would be the one way to make it work. And Kane, they you know, the Spurs play Brentford, which is a pretty good match, right? Like, give me Kane in one versus Ronaldo in two, I'd say, you know, when you think about the Brentford match.
Yeah, I agree. And I have Kane. That the only way for me to get Ronaldo would be to drop one of two people, Salah. Well, Salah or Kane. And maybe, I mean, Salah would be the easier player to drop at this point. Let's see what he does against Manchester United. But you mentioned Spurs are favored to get that top four position. And they're favored because we expect them to win some matches. I don't expect for Kane to just be an assist machine for the rest of the season. He's going to score some more goals before the season is over. And I just don't really want to miss out on that personally.
Yep. Nope. And so Ronaldo is just, unless you're just done with Mo Salah, unless you've just decided you don't trust him, or you're willing to, I mean, okay, let's say like you're desperate, right? Let's say you're, you know, you really want to win your mini league. Your overall rank doesn't matter to you. You're not tracking every season, you know, your Hall of Fame ranking or whatever. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. Yeah. I'm going to bring in Ronaldo and just see if I can do it. Then sure. I mean, that would be one way to do it.
You know, Ronaldo or Timo Werner, bigger upside over the next, say, two game weeks.
Well, that's interesting. If you looked at it through three game weeks, I guess I'd say Werner, because you get the two doubles with Chelsea in 34 and 36. So, yeah. So I'll say Werner, I guess. I mean, you know, it feels like Chelsea's more likely to score like seven goals in a match than Man United are, right? Yeah. And so if they're going to do that, I'd assume that Werner would be more involved than, you know, or that he'd be pretty involved. I Man United just don't seem like they're set up right now to like kind of wax anybody.
Sure. Yeah, the nature of the Ronaldo goals, it's like splitting hairs. I mean, Tim Krul's got to do better on that free kick. I can't take goals away from Ronaldo, but how replicatable is that Ronaldo hat trick? Now it's not like he's ever done that before, but I don't know. I'm just trying to how do you actually say Timo Werner is a better option than Ronaldo? It's a stretch, but this is really the be a big boy or a big girl in your fantasy season. If you really feel like you've got to make moves, this is what you have to do. You have to decide to drop Salah or Kane to make this happen.
Yeah.
And that's really the end of it.
Salah to Mason Mount. And then Weghorst to Ronaldo. It's probably enough money to make that work, you know? So I don't know, go for it. And then maybe make it a -8 and you bring in Wood to Werner too, you know? Just have fun with it, you know?
Get crazy.
All three. Yeah, exactly. So then you have Jadon Sancho, one goal, one assist, three blank in the last five. I just don't really see a lot of excitement there. I realize they play on Tuesday. Maybe they're going to like just blow us all away on Tuesday, but at the moment it's hard to really like recommend any of these attacking players. And, you know, there's really just no one else trustworthy worth talking about. And, you know, the defense remains dreadful. I certainly wouldn't recommend bringing in a De Gea even, you know, and then you're just not going to get enough saves to make up for it. It's like having Nick Pope. It's just like, why did I do that? You know, it's just like a total waste. Like, great, I've got Nick Pope. You know, and so it's, they're always going to concede. And so that's just true of Man United as well. They're always going to concede. And so, just stay away. And honestly, probably just stay away from the whole team. I wouldn't recommend like burning any transfers on Man United players in 34 outside of this kind of scenario that we painted where, you know, you're really desperate.
You're willing to do anything, just like grotesque things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in agreement there. So the sort of the less said about Manchester United, the better, which takes us to the captaincy discussion. So we gave our own thoughts about who we're looking to captain on our teams. Right now I'm on Havertz and you're on Mo Salah with an eye toward Mason Mount. So it seems like if I had to, odds are pretty good that you're going to get Mount in, you think, Josh, and captain him?
I don't know. I wouldn't say the odds are – I'd say the odds are okay. I'd say it just depends. I could start. It sort of depends on how I feel. I mean, maybe it might depend on how the next few days go. Honestly, let's see where my rank takes me the next few days. You know, see how much I hate my team by the time Thursday's matches are, you know, we'll concluded. See. I mean, yeah. You know, if Veghorst does something again on Thursday, then maybe moving Chris Wood to, you know, instead of Veghorst is a move that makes a little more sense.
Do you think Veghorst has a shot at the Golden Boot still this season?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I would be if he isn't $11 million next year and starting for. He's going to be so valuable. He's actually not going to be able to play for any one team. Everyone's going to get him for 4 weeks at a time. Right. They're going to shuttle him around.
I think he is a dark horse candidate for the Golden Boot this season.
A dark horse. Yeah. All right. Well, I think my rough captain order, I mean, this is just like, you know, we could split hairs about this a little bit, would be Mason Mount, Rudiger, Salah. I mean, like Liverpool play Everton at home. That is an incredible match for Mo Salah. Timo
historically,
Werner,
the Merseyside derby has been a pretty tight fixture. Now
it's true, but this is a Frank Lampard like relegation scrap Everton squad. Yeah. I think Liverpool are going to win that one big. Werner, Ronaldo, Havertz, and Bruno. So I've got Bruno kind of the end of my list of captain options. Mount and Rudiger are the two that I'd put at the top. Maybe Havertz I have a little too low. Maybe I'm just sort of unfairly maligning him a little bit, but I just don't totally trust him. That's really where it comes down with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting absentees from the list are Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane, but Brentford are in good form. Incredible late win against Watford. Like Watford got Watforded. It was almost like the mirror image of when Troy Deeney goes and smashes in the goal after the missed penalty to actually get Watford promoted. And then Watford ends up missing a huge chance, and then Brentford go down to the other end and effectively relegate them. They were already dead anyway, but Brentford are also quite good at home. So is this a good match for Spurs or not? But I think you do have to consider Kane and Son in your captaincy order here.
Yeah, that's true. I'd throw them in. Speaking of late headers, by the way, that Bruno Guimaraes, I'm not sure how to say his sure. second name, but yeah, what a great goal that was to end that match. I mean, I had no special fantasy stakes in one or the other, but it was just like a beautiful bullet header to win that game.
Yeah, just landed perfectly in the air, him in stride, and all he had to do was just like use his momentum and launch himself into the air, and mm-hmm. bada boom, bada bing.
It was beautiful. It was incredible. Just fun to watch. Yeah. So, Brian, one final thing about 34. You know, we've talked a lot about Man United and Chelsea. We have not probably talked nearly enough about Man City yet. Not only because they play Watford at home in the game week 34, but their run from there is fantastic. I mean, but they actually haven't played their game week 33 fixture yet. They play Brighton at home and on Wednesday. But then they play Watford on Saturday, Leeds away, Newcastle, West Ham, Villa, and the Wolves match that still has to get played. I mean, they don't have – I don't even see a point dropped down the stretch for them. And, you know, I don't see a lot of goals conceded either. Like, it's a really great stretch for them in the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. So you've got lots of options. I mean, the ones that are near the top for me personally would be, you know, just bite that bullet and go solid to Kevin De Bruyne. He got an all-important rest in the FA Cup fixture against Liverpool. Yep. So they're just getting him ready for a long run-in with the Champions League as well. And then Ederson, I think, is, you know, I'm going to be out here by myself dying on this hill, Josh, the premium keeper hill. But I think Cancelo is assumed. You should all have Cancelo. The sheer points per price, best value in Man City, gotta have him, I believe. And so I like the Cancelo, Ederson, De Bruyne triple up, and just thinking about the points. You can sort of twist yourself in knots trying to figure out how Mahrez and Foden open up more cash for you. But that just always ends up being too fraught for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't actually have Cancelo, and if Cancelo were to be rested in that Brighton matchup midweek, then you can make a real case for just going for Cancelo over any of these defender options that we talked about.
Like any, you're going for Cancelo over any Chelsea defender, any Manchester United defender, etc.
Exactly.
Josh, I wish everyone could see this. He's losing it. He's using the, I think he has COVID button. Again. This is unfortunate.
I know. It's so frustrating to.
Okay, so yeah, Cancelo to, yeah, he's the highest priority, especially if you don't have him. But I'm asking you personally, Josh, like, who is the other one other City asset that you covet? Is there one? Because this is always the issue with City is that they're always like the best team with the best players, but you never really end up wanting anyone in particular.
Yep. It's KDB, Laporte, and Cancelo. And that's really it. I mean, I don't the midfield. I mean, Bernardo, I've been there, done that. Too stressful. Foden, too inconsistent. There's just kind of nobody that I really want, I think, outside of maybe having two defenders, you know, and having two defenders, I think, makes a lot of sense because I see a lot of clean sheets down the line for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, we really have to reckon with City. We haven't talked nearly enough about them just because they have somehow not have had any double game weeks through this entire long chip season where it seems every other team has had about 50 double game weeks. But I think as soon as that Wolves fixture, as soon as we know whether it's in 36 or 37, that's when the dominoes start to fall for when you need to get serious about City, if not this week. Because, yeah, these fixtures for the run-in are ridiculous. They won't intend in dropping any points, obviously. Whereas Liverpool, I mean, prediction time here, Josh. Like, City don't drop points. Liverpool, they do face Manchester United midweek, Merseyside derby followed, then Newcastle, Spurs will be a really interesting match in game week 36, Villa, Southampton, and Wolves. So it's still a pretty clear path for Liverpool too, except for that Spurs fixture in 36, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think they probably, you know, I think they'll still win that one as well. I think for them, they just need to find a way to not drop a point and have Man City drop one somewhere. So, we'll see what happens.
That's how it breaks down, everybody. Have we broken down game week 34 enough? Like, any final thoughts on these fixtures other than it, like, starts with a barn burner early Saturday, Arsenal United? That's going to be an incredible match, I think.
I think it'll be great, too. But, that's it. I think... I feel like I'm about to descend into another coughing spell here. So I think let's come to an early stop on this week's pod, conserve my energy, be ready for next week's regular episode and for the Patreon pod, of course.
Absolutely. We'll put you in cotton wool here.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much for everyone listening. Thanks for all the nice messages everybody sent me. Brendan, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Yeah. And if you want to support us on Patreon, visit us at patreon.com/always cheating. We love to thank our producer patrons each podcast, and thanks to Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Babas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg Skoging, Andley Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rossell, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Mikey Uung, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group, FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shib Morjoria, Rom Frost, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazaros, you know us, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb Robbie, Todd Byerly, Alper Poxley, Martin Ospith, Lee Hickman, Vulgar Paulson, Kruger, Jez Binning, Francis Moore, managed by Lasso, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, The Saint, FPL Pessimist, and Robert and Bob Fox. Rate, review, and subscribe to Always Cheating Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media. At Hail Cheaters is where we're most active on Twitter. Email hailcheaters@gmail.com. Visit our website, alwayscheating.com. And everyone, be safe. If you're feeling symptoms, get tested and call in sick to work.
That's right. Yeah, highly recommend it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Good luck this weekend. Good luck at the rest of the matches this week as well. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.